We're on Daf Kuf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, and we're in the middle of the Amud. You'll see a line that starts Ibayluhu. Now we had Rav Shimon Gamliel back on Daf Kuf Lamed Hey, and he holds that not only in a human birth are we afraid after 8 months of Nefel that maybe the child is not viable. So too says Rav Shimon Gamliel in the case of an animal. Iboilahu, mi pligi rabbanan alei dereb Shimon ben Gamliel, olo. And imtim saloma pligi halacha kamoso, o ein halacha kamoso. So, what do the rabbanan hold about an animal? Do they agree with Rav Shimon Gamliel that even an animal is becheskas nefel if he's born after 8 months? Or do they disagree? And assuming they do disagree, do we paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel? Or do we say, no, we don't paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel? Toshma. So we're going to quote a brisa. Egel shenolad biyontif, shochatim oso biyontif. So we're allowed to shecht an egel, a little calf, that was born on yontif, and we're not afraid that maybe it's a nefel. And this seems to contradict Rav Shimon Gamliel, because he would say, how can you shecht it on Yontif? Maybe it's a Nefel. And if it's a Nefel, then it has the status of a Trefa, and the Shechita would not be a permissible Shechita. Moreover, we have to add the Isur Mukta in this case. So a calf that was born on Yontif, are we allowed to shecht it? According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, there are Mukta problems, and yet this brisa permits it. Apparently we're not afraid that it will die, that it's a Nefel. So the Gemara says no. Hacha v'mayaskin on the Bryce is talking about a case, the Kimle begavei shekololo chadoshov. He's allowed to shecht this eagle because in this particular case we happen to know for sure that it had a full 9 months, and therefore we don't have to worry about the possibility that it's a nefel, and you're allowed to shecht it on yontif. In a suffix situation, we have absolute reliable information, then we don't know if it's kol chadosh or lo kol chadosh, and then we have to be afraid it's a nefel. And even the rabbanu would say you're not allowed to shecht. Toshma, maybe we could be poshet the suffix from another brisa. As far as the machlokes shin of Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to check mumei bechor if you have a bechor that was born on yontif. Can you on yontif check the mumin and determine whether it's a mum kavua or a mum she'eno kavua? If it's a mum kavua, then it's psulei mukdashim. You're allowed to shecht it and eat it. And Rabbi Shimon says it's asur. And until now, it was a bechor, and it was also b'achila. If the chacham comes along and he's matir it, then he's misakin it. But right now, as things are now, it's Osir. It had a din of Bechor, and it's a Bechor is also Bachila. So that's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he allows you to be Bodek, this Mum of the Bechor on Yontif. Bishavim, but the Brisa says that there's no machlokes in the following case. Im nolad hu umumo imo. Let's say the Dayanim is sitting there, they see that this Bechor was born and it has a mum. Then they're allowed to check to see if it's a mum kavua and therefore to be matir b'achila. And why is that? Lefisha zemina muchan. No, it's immediately with its birth, it was muchan lachila, because it had a mum. Nolad b'mumo imo. And therefore was never considered asabachila. So it's not like the dayanim are being kovea heter, a brand new heter, which would be an asiyas din. In any event, it's clear that a bachar is mutabachila, b'yom shenolad, and we're not choshish that it's a nefel, and that's against Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The holy issue here is whether or not it is b'chezkas heter achila, but as far as nefel is concerned, meaning, do we view this mum that we see with its birth as being koveh heter achila? But the consideration, the variable of will the bechor survive or not? Is it a nefel, which is Rav Shimon Gamliel's chashash? That doesn't seem to come to the fore. So it means that the chachamim, whose shita is reflected in this brisa, they disagree with Shimon Gamliel. They're not worried about Nefel. Again, what they could be worried about is it might be also Bachila B'Toras Bachar, but then it was born with a mum. So Gemara now rejects it again. V'hochinami shekolo chadosha. This price, so like the previous one, is talking about a case where we know for sure that it had a full, that its mother came to the full term of 9 months. And even Rav Shimon Gamliel would say in such a case, we don't have any chashash, it's a nefel. We know it's not a nefel, and it's mutar b'achila. Toshma, the Yom Rabbi Yudah Meshmuel, halachik Rav Shimon Gamliel, and a vlad, until we know for sure that it was kol chadoshov, we have to be choshish that maybe it's a nefel. And since Shmuel found it necessary to say halacha, is michlal de pligi. The very fact that he said halacha kir Rav Shimon Gamliel means that all the chachamim disagree with him. Shmamina. Okay. Tosis points out here that it seems that there are sources which are explicit that Rabbanan disagree with Rav Shimon Gamliel. And Tosis has a problem why the Gemara didn't quote those sources. Omar Abaye, Nafal Minagag, if this Vlad falls from a roof and it dies, Osha Chalo Ari, or it was killed immediately after its birth, within the first 3 days of its birth, by a lion, Divrei HaKol Chai. We didn't see any birth defects, we have no reason to assume that this animal would have died anyway. And therefore, everybody agrees that it has a cheskes chai until the point that it died. And we could also apply this logic based on a rove. And that means that rove yoldos ain't on mapilos. And therefore we assume this was not an afel. But now we have to add another point here. Im aviv mes lefanov, v'lo hayu lo bonim achrov, poter vlad ze es imo michalitza v'yibu. So before we get to the case of an animal, let's just talk about a case of a human being. Nebuch, the baby, the newborn infant, died shortly after birth, and that was because of a special irua, some terrible catastrophe that happened, a calamity. And tragically, the baby died. But as far as Yibum is concerned, all we need to know is that the baby, for one split second after its birth, was a viable being. And so, therefore, in a case where the baby's father died, and there are no other children, and the Vlad was born, so the father had died, and now she falls for Yibum, unless the father left a viable child. And the halacha is Divrei HaKol Chayhu, that this child is considered viable, and he patters up his mother from Chalitza and Yibum, which is a great leniency, because, you know, it could be that the Yavam is who knows where, and she will never be able to get remarried, unless she gets chalitza. But here she doesn't need chalitza, because her late husband left a zera, left a child, and we, although the child tragically died very quickly after birth, but nevertheless, we had no reason to suspect that this baby was in any way had a chisaron. We didn't see any physical problems, and most women give birth to viable babies that are not nafels, and therefore she is completely exempt from yibum and chalitza. Now, what about an animal? In the case of an animal, let's say they shechted the animal within 8 days of its leida, muteres b'achilu, we're allowed to eat the meat of the animal. And once again, we don't assume it's a nafel. So that's Divrei HaKol. Says Abai, nobody argues about that. Kipli, where they argue, is shepihek v'mes. That immediately after the leida, what's a chaya called in English? A midwife, right? A midwife saw that mate bilvat piyek. So what's piyek? And we're going to translate piyek as yawned. Now, what does this mean? The child yawned and then died. So you and I would say, well, the yawning is not... Okay, child yawns, no big deal. But here we're assuming that this was a manifestation of a limited vitality. That when it yawned and then dies, we assume that from the birth, it had a limited vitality. In a word, there was something wrong with this baby. So when we say here that piyek va mes, here what we mean by mes is in a legal sense that it doesn't have the ability to survive. And if we suspect that it's non-viable, that's not simply because it died, but because it showed weak signs of vitality in the first place. And therefore, if it would have died of some tragic external cause, we would still suspect it of being a nafel, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. And Mar Sovar Chayhu, no, it's the Chachamim of Rav Shimon Gamliel, of course, we established in the sugi before they disagree with Shimon Gamliel, and therefore they assume he was chai, he was a viable being, even though he's got certain frailties. He's frail, but he's viable, and we have every reason to believe that this weak infant would be part of the majority of newborns that are viable, and therefore we attribute its death to some external cause. But Marisov, according to Shimon Gamliel, mesu. We assume the child was not viable from birth, but rather it was a nafel. And the Gemara is going to ask, L'may nafki mina? What difference does it make? And sure enough, we can guess, liftar min ayibu, that if the baby's father had died, left no other children except for this one, according to Chachamim, the mother is potter, she's completely out of the parasha of Yibum and Chalitza, because the baby was chai, in quotation marks, it was viable at the time of the death of the father, so she never fell for Yibum. Whereas according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, she falls for Yibum, there's a zikas Yibum, she'll need Chalitza, because at the time that the father died, this child was already considered a mess. Now the Gemara wonders about Abaye in his explanation of this machlokes. How could you possibly say that nafal min agag or acholo ari All this happened within a short period of time after the baby was born. Divrei Hakol, everybody agrees, Chayhu, that it's a viable being. And as we said before, he patters his mother from Yibum and Chalitza. Vara Papa Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua, Iklu Lebei Brei. They went to the house of their son, who is the son of Rav Idi Bar Ovin, the Ovid Le Igla Tilsa B'Yamavad Shiva. And he cooked for them a calf that was healthy and fine, and it was on the seventh day since its birth. Vi Amri Le, and they turned to Rav Huna and Rav Papa. I'm sorry, Rav Papa and Rav Huna turned to Rav Idi, and they said to him, Yisrachisule Adli Urta, if I would have waited until the evening, and then, oh, now we're talking about a Vlad, of a Behema, then Hayisi Oz Shochet Oso, Haviachlina Mine, I would have eaten from it. Hashta, now that it was shechted on the seventh day of its birth, since its birth, Lo Achil Namine. Why? Because since we pass like Rav Shim Gamliel, and a general Vlad of a Behema, we assume, might be a Nefel. And therefore here too, this Vlad of a Behema might be a Nefel. And therefore, if it was shechted on day 7 of its birth, then I would not be able to eat it. I would have to assume it was a Nefel. And if I would have waited till the evening and just shechted then, I would have definitely eaten it, because then it would have been the eighth day. I would have assumed that it's the Yotzei Mechlal Nefel, but now it's shechted on the seventh day, I'm not going to eat from it. Or we're not going to eat from it, I should say, in the plural. We're going to paskin like Rav Shim Gamliel, of Vlad, with Choshesh that it might be a Nefel. Anyway, we see clearly from this whole episode that Rav Shim Gamliel is Choshesh for a Nefel, even in the case where Lo Piek Vameis. In other words, we didn't see any chisaron in this baby. There was no signs of weakness or anything along that line. And this is against Abaye, because Abaye was of the opinion that everybody agrees that if the animal died of some unusual circumstances, some sort of freak accident, that it's considered chai. And we don't assume that it was a Nefel. So what's Abaye going to do with this Divrei Hakol Chayhu? Ella, but rather, we have to say the exact opposite. Kishapiek Vameis, and we don't see anything that would have sapped or curtailed its vitality. Is Divrei Hakol Mesu? Afaker, he says, if the child yawned and died, everybody agreed we suspected it was not viable. But ki pligi bin nofal minagag viacholo ari. In what case do they have machlokas here? When there was this tragedy, a child fell from a roof, it was eaten by a lion, and it died from external causes. Mar sovar mesu, Rav Shim Gamliel holds that it's not viable. Umar sovar chayhu, and the Chachamim say that we assume the child is viable, we have no reason to believe to the contrary, and it was killed by some external cause. Now we have a similar incident to the one that we had before. And Brei Rav Dimi Bar Yosef is Sialad Luhu Hahuyanuka. So the son of Rav Dimi had a child that was born. Begotal Sin Yomin Shkiva died within the first 30 days of its life. Yosef Kamis Abali Luye. and Rav Dimi, or I should say Braid Rav Dimi, sat Shiva. Amale Avua, and Rav Dimi said to his son, Tsarvanisa Kabois Lemechal. In other words, there's a Sudas Havra, which is the first meal that's traditionally, according to Minog, brought to the mourner, and he was asking him, are you ready to eat that meal? Amale said to his father, Kimli Bei Shekola Chadoshav. Before you give me a piece of meat, please clarify without a shadow of a doubt that it was born as a viable vlad, because its mother carried to full term, a full 9 months. So we see once again, we pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel, even in the case of an animal, we have a problem of nafel within the first 30 days. Rav Ashi Yikla Bei Rav Kana and Isra Bei Milsa Begoy Talsin Yomin. So something tragic happened during his visit. In other words, his child died. And it was within the first 3 days of its birth, first 30 days of its birth. Chazie de Yosef Akomis Abole, Rav Ashi saw that Rav Kahana was sitting Shiva. Omole, Rav Ashi turns to Rav Kahana, and he asks him, Lo Sovrele Mar de Ha, Lohodi Omar of Yehuda Meshmuel, Halacha Krav Shimon Gamliel. And he was implying to him that this infant that dies within 30 days of his birth, we have to assume that it was not a viable being. So why are you obligated to mourn? Amalei, so Rav Kahana responded to Rav Ashi, Kimli begavai shekol lo chadoshev. I was privy to the information that for sure it had a full 9 months, and the mother had carried to a full term. Therefore, this is a tragedy. This is not, you know, it's not an afel. This is a viable being that was tragically killed. Itmar meis betoch shloshim. If an infant dies within 30 days of its birth, and it has a father, but the father died, and omdominis kadsha, his mother received kiddushin, she accepted kiddushin. Now, if the baby died within 30 days, we don't know, based on the machlokas shein Rav Shimon Gamliel and Chachamim, what its status is. Was it a viable being? If he's deemed to be viable, then his mother remarries. She doesn't need chalitza. But if he's not viable, then she needs chalitza before she's free to marry. And in our case, the mother accepted kiddushin without first undergoing chalitza, and she was thinking that the baby was a viable birth and her child freed up from yibum. Therefore, she accepted kiddushin sometime after the death of her child. Omar Avina Mishmei Derava. And here we turn to Daf Kuf Lamed Vav Lamed Beis. Just 1 second, I think I... One second, I think I skipped something. Sorry. Yeah. Im Eishes Yisrael he choletzes velo mesiyah bemes. Im Eishes Kohen he ain't a choletzes. So she accepted kiddushin from a non-Kohen, a Yisrael, who's allowed to marry a chalutza. And therefore, choletzes, one of the brothers of the deceased, would have to give her chalutza, and only afterwards she's allowed to marry a Yisrael. And that's because the halacha might be like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that the baby is considered a nefel, and therefore if it's not a viable being, it doesn't patter up the mother from Yibum and Chalitza. So first she's got to get Chalitza, and then she can get married. Im Eishes Kohen Hi, which means that she accepted Kiddushin from a Kohen. A Kohen's not allowed to marry a Chalitza. Ein Choletzes, we're not going to be Choshesh for Rav Shimon Gamliel in this case, because if she has to receive chalitza because the baby wasn't viable, then she won't be able to continue a marriage relationship with the Eishes with the Kohen. And we're going to rely on the Chachamim. That's our failsafe over here, because we're going to assume that Stam Vlad ain choshen lenefel, and therefore she didn't fall for chalitza. Rav Sheshes, Rav Shrevya, Mishmei de Rav Amar, Achazu v'Achazu, whether she's an Eishes Yisrael or an Eishes Kohen, Choletzes, even an Eishes Kohen requires Chalitza here. And that would mean that if she accepted Kiddushin from a Kohen, he's going to have to divorce her, because he's not allowed to marry a Chalitza, and she needs Chalitza. And this means that we are relying on the Shita that we paskin like of Shimon Gamliel, and therefore the Vlad is not viable, and she falls for Chalitza. Amale Ravina Lirav Shravya Biurta, in the evening Amar Rava Hoch Achazu V'achazu choletzes. As we saw before, whether it's an Eishes Yisrael or an Eishes Kohen, she needs chalitza. And that's based on the fact that we assume that the child is not viable. Litzafra hadarbe. Although this is his opinion, as we saw originally, that was only at night. The following morning, Rava changed his mind, and he says that an Eishes Kohen should not receive chalitza. Amale Rav Shravya L'Ravina Shrisua Ye Rava Dis Tishru Tarba. Now, it's you a matir to a Kohen by assuming that she is Ptura Mina Chalitza, because the Kohen is not, as we said before, allowed to marry a Chalitza. Here, we're going to maintain the marriage to the Kohen. And the reason for that is because we're going to assume that the Vlad is viable. And that's how we can be Matir her to a Kohen and completely circumvent the need for chalitza. Yehei Rava de Tishru Tarba. Yehi Ratzon She Tisyaru or Tatiru Chelev Bachila. What does that mean? Im Hincha Matir Shomeres Yavam Leshuk Tuchal Af Lahatir Chelev Bachila. This was a very sarcastic comment of Rav Shravya, saying that, you know what, if you're matiring a Shomer Siyavam Lashuk, you might as well matir Chelev Bachila. So we'll summarize this in the following way. Amar Le, Rav Shrevya did not accept what Ravina reports as Rava's final decision, because according to Ravina, Rava changed his mind overnight, and the next morning he rescinded his ruling, and she does not need to undergo chalitza, and if she accepted kiddushin from a Kohen, we can validate that kiddushin. That's what Ravina tells Rav Shravya about Rava's final position. And now, Rav Shvarya says to Ravina cynically, he says to him, you've ignored the ruling of Rav Shimon Gamliel. You permitted her to marry without chalitza. May it be the divine will that you'll permit forbidden animal fats to be eaten as well. I would just say this is very, very cynical to make such a comment. I mean, how is it feasible that Rava would be matir chela? But he wants to say you went against Rav Shimon Gamliel, you were matir yevamel shuk, and that's the way you reported Rava's final conclusion. And I don't get how you could possibly accept these kiddushin from a kohen when she needs chalitza. Okay, this leads us to Rav Yehuda matir Lomol Androgynous Peshabbos. Omar Rav Shizbi, Omar Rav Chizda, Lola Kol Omar Rav Yud Androgynous Zacharhu. This is not a universal principle that in all areas halacha Rav Yud maintains that the status of an androgynous is that of a definite male. It's a separate halacha here in our particular sugya of Mila. She'imata Omer Kane, if you're going to universalize this psak of Rabbi Yehuda, that an androgynous in general is a male, as opposed to being a female or a suffix, then Be'arochin Yarech, with regard to the vows of Erchin, the androgynous should have a valid vow of Erchin. And what this would mean is, let's say he took a neder that he would bring the erech, the value of an androgynous, he would simply become obligated to pay the migdash, the erech of an equivalent male. Okay, and that's a law that we're going to pick up a little bit later on. And Imata Omer Kane, if you can expand this to other areas, then Ba'arochin Ye'orech. So we're talking about Erech vows. The androgynous should have a vow. And if a person vowed a certain Erech, he's obligated to pay up to the Beis HaMikdash. And by the way, that halach of Erechin applies both to men and women. So from whence do we derive that an androgynous does not have erchin? So one who vows that he will give the erich of an androgynous, he's not obligated to pay a thing. The sanya, because we learned in a brisa, has zohar velo tumtum androgynous. That in the parish of erchin, which is in Vayikra Chav Zayin Vaya Erkecha HaZachar Mi Ben Esrim Shanov Yad Ben Shishim Shanov Vaya Erkecha Chamishim Kesef Chamishim Shekel Kesef B'Shekel HaKodesh. So we have in the word Zachar here HaZachar. What is the Torah coming to add by saying HaZachar? It could have easily have said Vaya Erkecha Zachar. What's the HaZachar? And the answer is HaZachar V'lo Tumtum V'Androgynous. That with regard to Erech vows, the male is included, but not a Tumtum or an Androgynous. Yachol Lo Yehei Be'Erech Ish. Is it possible that the Tumtum or the Androgynous does not have the status of an Ish, of a man? Aval Yehei be Erech Isha. Certainly should be counted no inferior to an Isha. So whatever an Erech Isha is, that would apply also to an Erech of an androgynous. Aval Yehei be Erech Isha. He assesses according to the Erech of a woman. So we're talking now about an androgynous, and you might think that we should evaluate him for purpose of Erechin and his pledge to the value of an Isha. Of course, he does have Simone Nakfus, as we said before. Talmud Lomar Hazachar V'im Nekevahu. Okay, Hazachar. And it says in the Pasuk V'im Nekevahi. It means a Zachar Vadai. And that's why it says Hazachar with a Hey. Unikeva Vadois. They're included in Erechin. Below Tumtum Vandroginus. Tumtum Vandroginus are excluded from Erech. Okay, now here on the top of Kuflamit Zion, it says, in the Bryce, it says, Ustom Sifra Rav Yehuda. So if we have a Bryce in Taurus Kohanim, which is otherwise known as Sifra, and we don't know who wrote the Bryce, who authored it, we assume it's Rabbi Yehuda. So we see clearly that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Androgynous is not considered as a Zohar Vadai. Okay, and we see that clearly from the exclusion of Androgynous from Erechin. And that's based on the fact that we need a Zohar Vadai for Erechin. If somebody says Erchiolai, and let's say what's this Erchiolai, and he says Yitain Ke'erech Isha. I made one mistake. It's not Erchiolai, but Erkoolai. So he pledges to give the Erech of an Androgynous. We might think let him at least pay the Erech of an Isha. I mean, he's either male or female, so take the lower sum. But Talmud Lomar HaZochar V'im Nekevahi, that we need a Zochar Vadai or Nekevah Vados to the exclusion of Tumtum and Androgynous. So if a person says in an Erech vow that he's going to give the money of this Androgynous, the value of this Androgynous, it's completely excluded from Erech. And the reason is because we don't consider the Androgynous to be a Vadai Zochar. And now we've been quoting a Sifra and Stam Sifra Rabbi Yehuda. So we see Rabbi Yehuda holds that an Androgynous is not a Vadai Zohar with regard to Erechin. And we can expand that and generalize it because Omer of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Afanana Mitnina, we also have a mission in Parah where Rabbi Yehuda does not consider an Androgynous as a male. It says, HaKol K'sherim L'Kadesh, Chutz Micheresh Shot V'Katon, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir V'Katon, U'Posel B'Isha V'Androgynous. So that, with regard to preparing the purification waters, which we call Mei Chatos, which is taken from the Paraduma, everyone is included and qualifies to prepare the kiddush, the purification waters, with the exception of Cheresh Shota V'Katan. Okay, this is derived from Psukim in Masechta Yoma. And Rabbi Yehuda wants to include a Katan, but he disqualifies both a female and an androgynous. Shmami, no, we see from this Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda does not consider an androgynous to be a Vadai Zohar. Now, in the case of circumcision of Mila, we saw that Rabbi Yehuda says the androgynous is considered a male. So, Maishna Mila. Why is the androgynous, according to Rabbi Yehuda, considered a male? And the Gemara answers, Mishum dechsiv hi mo lachem kol zachar. In the Parsha of Mila, it says kol zachar. And the extra word kol teaches us that we include an androgynous in the midst of Mila, so that a Mila is the exception to the rule. So Rav Yehuda again, he would say that an androgynous is a safek. We don't know if he's male or female. So for example, something like preparing the mechatos, which requires a male, we would have to disqualify an androgynous. But however, and also let's add erchin. So if he took a vow to give to the Migdash the value of this person who's an androgynous, then he's not chayiv in erchin because the Torah wants a vada, and this is a suffix. However, the exception to the rule is mila, and the extra word kol is teaching us that if there's a male organ, then there's a chiyuv of mila. It doesn't matter whether technically, this person belongs to this gender or that gender, that's irrelevant. And that brings us to the first Mishnah of the two Mishnahs here on Kuf Lamed Zayin. So we have learned already back on Daf Kuf Lamed Beis that only Mila Bizmana on the eighth day is Docha Shabbos. Otherwise it's Chavola if you perform the Mila either earlier or later. Now, Misha Yilo Shnei Tinokos, if a person has two infants to circumcise, Echolamul Achara Shabbos, Echolamul B'Shabbos, he gets confused. He doesn't know which one is the meal of his man on Shabbos, which one is meant to have his meal on Sunday. Shachachumol Eshal Achara Shabbos B'Shabbos. And he went ahead in his confusion, and he did the meal on the one that is a Sunday bris, and he violated the Shabbos chayev. Then he has to bring a korban chatos for a shkoga. And that means that if the bris is meant to be Sunday, then this child is 7 days old and not 8 days old. There's no mitzvah to circumcise it. Now he did a chavola for no purpose, and he's chayev. Again, whether he's chayiv for chovel as the told of shochet is complicated because chovel is a mekalkel. Our mission apparently considers that even this is the shita of Rav Shimon, which we didn't talk about today, but anyway, that chovel and mavra are the two exceptions, and you're chayiv even by mekalkel. Okay, fine. Now, in the following scenario, Echolamul be Erev Shabbos, one was a Friday bris, which means that Shabbos is the eighth day, is the ninth day of the child's life. Vi Echolamul be Shabbos, and Shachachumol shall Erev Shabbos be Shabbos. And now we're talking about a Mila that is absolutely valid. Again, he should have done the meal on Friday, but if he delays it accidentally and he does the meal not in the eighth day of the child's life, but in the ninth day, that is a valid meal. And here we have Machlokis, Rabbi Eliezer Mechayv Chatos, Rabbi Yeshua Poter. And we can understand Rabbi Yeshua in the context of, did he do a mitzvah of meal? Was the meal valid? If it was, it's not a chabura. So that even though he shouldn't have done this mila because it's already the ninth day of the baby's life, and the baby should have been circumcised yesterday on Friday, but nevertheless it still is a viable mila. And that mitzvah mila, insofar as it's valid to the Eved, is going to exempt him from a chatas according to Rabbi Yeshua. However, Rabbi Eliezer says he's chay of a chatas, because although he has a mitzvah of mila, and the child is 9 days old, but nevertheless, the mitzvah of mila beyond the eighth day doesn't override the Shabbos. And if it doesn't have the power to override the Shabbos, then he's chayv from leches chovel. That is the Mishnah. Okay, then we'll stop here, and Belinetta will continue tomorrow with the Gemara. So we're on Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph. We've done the first Mishnah, and we're up to the Gemara, which is approximately 10 lines down from the top.